dear student. Welcome back again. I'm Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah. And our new chapter that we are going to talk and understand is Chapter 8, Product Formulation in Tourism. So what we have in store for us in this particular chapter of Product Formulation in Tourism, step by step, we will be learning the concept of tourism product. And definitely, because for any growing economy and business, you need to sell products. So literally, what does tourism product means? In further learning, we will know the elements of tourism product. What are the elements of the tourism product? And we will also understand the basic process of developing the tourism product. It's not only identifying or defining the tourism product, but also what is the process, how this whole tourism product is given as a final product, what are the developments that happen in creating a tourism product. We will also know the component of the products. How does this tourism product consist of? What are the different components that finally comes out as a tourism product? And we will also understand the concept of branding and product positioning. Any product that has been designed and developed need to be marketed, and we will understand what is the concept of branding, why do people love branding in general, and how that branding works in tourism, and how that product is positioned in the market. So great learning in this particular chapter as well about product formulation in tourism. Let's first come and understand jointly the tourism product. The term generic product refers to the conceptual commonly produced by an industry. Generic product, any product in the market, refers to the commodity produced by an industry. And let's see what is that in tourism. The function of generic product is the facilitation of travel and activity of an individual away from their usual home environment. So that is called a tourism product. The activity and the component in step-by-step process results into a tourism product. So we'll learn more into that. So let's start understanding the tourism product from the demand side perspective. Because any product being marketed need to have a demand for it, or you create a demand for it. So according to Kotler, tourism product is anything that can be offered to a market for attention, for acquisition, use, or consumption that might satisfy a want or a need. So there is a want or a need. Your product that is created, developed, marketed should be getting attention for them to acquire it and use it. That is the demand side prospect. You cannot produce any product from tourism perspective that may not have a demand, and so on. So it includes, now what includes in tourism product? Physical objects services, persons, places, organization, and ideas. Combination of all this comes up as a tourism product. So you have seen like what are the elements that are added to create a tourism product. And there's some of them are physical objects. Some are purely services that has to be availed, that has to be enjoyed. And those services are being offered by qualified persons at a specific place. Could be a tourist destination offered by a single individual or organization with ideas. Ideas that are sold for people to buy. That whole concept is called tourism product. And that creates a demand. So that was from demand perspective. Now we learn supply side perspective. Now tourism products are viewed either at the scale of a community, country, region, nation, or international region, such as the Asian community. Yeah. So yes, Asian community has certain requirements. Western community may not be liking what Asian community or may respect that, but may not adopt all that. So from supply side, you have to accordingly put your product into the market, which is acceptable by certain people of a country, community, religion, nation, or international region, as we gave example of Asian, Western community, and so on. In the abstract, through models of the evaluation and morphology of tourism destination. So all this had to be offered, which is available with the evaluated evolution that has happened. And in that, you need to have your supply chain. For example, Chinese traveler, when they travel, their food habits are different, which may not be required for a community of a particular international market. For example, people in Far East, many of them love the seafood, which is absolutely no-no even for some people who are non-vegetarians. They would stick to mutton, chicken, and egg, but they may not like seafood for various reasons. Whereas Chinese go for any such thing. So this is the supply chain requirement. There's a shortfall of a supply, then they have to import it to create their product to meet that specific demand, and the supply has to be made in accordance with the needs of the market. I would give you an example here. Thailand, where seafood is available in abundance, not all that supply comes from their own resources. They import a lot of seafood or seafood products from neighboring countries like Myanmar and Vietnam and so on. So this is the whole concept of supply side perspective. And to meet that, many countries import. They import if they are not growing. If they do, they import it like qualified professionals to be provided in hospitality and tourism industry are not locally available in Gulf countries. So they hire foreigners, and that's why we see employment in tourism industry in Gulf country, the supply chain of workforce, the personnel who support, and meet the demand, they are from different parts. So the supply chain from human resources side is meant to meet that demand that has been created. We come now to explain to you the elements of tourism product. And this begins with physical thing. Physical things and physical evidence. What physical things are, What are the evidence for that? What are the facilities and services? What is hospitality? What is freedom of selection? And how it is involvement? Here they are classified with different alphabets. So physical thing, physical evidence with PT and PE, facilities and services with F and S, hospitality with H, and freedom of selection with FS, involvement with I. So this element of tourism product is given to you in a sort of a graph. So let me explain to you the graph. Starting from the top, physical thing, physical evidence, facilities, if they are present, they are evident, they are seen, then the facilities and services are added to produce a product out of the physical thing, where quality of service is added with utmost hospitality to lift that authenticity of the product as well as physical thing that is available. And then freedom of selection, giving choice to people of selecting and then get the involvement of the tourists. So all these are elements of tourism product. So by understanding these elements of tourism product, we take another step of literally understanding physical thing and physical evidence. And this is core of any tourism product. That is, a site, a natural resource, or a built attraction, man-made, and culture, or the facility itself. So to show to the tourists to get involved, let's put up an example of all that as a tourism product. You have a physical thing present in the form of Taj Mahal in India, in a form of Ram Mandir in India, in a form of all that are physically present. So it's the core that what you would market could be a site, a natural resources, could be a lake, could be a beautiful waterfall glimpse like Dudhsagar that we have in Karnataka, or a beautiful scenery of the mountains. All these are physical evidence and physical things that are present. And then also the attractions that are built. Example, Universal Studios. Example, Disneyland, Disney World. They are man-made, but definitely they exist. And the facility itself, that to go and avail that physical thing, man-made, and it is physically available. There's a component to build up a tourism product. And then it can be, as I explained, could be natural, man-made, or built in culture. So natural could be a lake, could be a wonderful waterfall, could be anything. Either man-made, Disneyland, Disney World, or Universal Studio, to name few. Or a cultural activity that would happen by gathering of X number of people to perform like Dahi Handi, or Ganesh Utsav, or Baisakhi, Harvest Festival, Onam in Kerala, etc. These are all cultural activities that will keep happening. Then natural is a resource, frequently the key element in a destination's attraction. It is natural. It has been gifted to us by nature. Not much efforts have been put. And that is physically present there. Like lakes around the rivers and the glimpse of the sunrise from a mountain belt, wildlife, all these are natural. We have been given. Definitely we need to protect them and provide tourism in addition to that. It also includes, geographical feature of the destination. So the Pushkar Mela or the Thar Desert or the Run of Kutch, all these are because of the geographical feature of that landmass. That's why the Thar Desert exists. That's how the Run of Kutch exists. That's how naturally we have geographically and the topography of Western Ghats. These are all geographical feature of a destination, and that is why we have got rocks, we have got lakes, we have got desert. Example picked up from Indian perspective. Likewise, any tourism product that exists around the world will have these component of natural and geographical features. Like sand dunes of Dubai. It is natural. Only thing to make that as a tourism product, the following components that we will be talking or I explained in those slides are part of that to convert desert safari as a tourism product. They are the natural, nature has given them sand dunes and they have given, nature has given them sand. So that's all natural. Now, what is the geographical feature that we just now concluded? It could be a landscape. It could be a seascape. Beautiful beaches around India. For example, we have 7,500 kilometers of sea line, starting from Gujarat going to Kanyakumari, from Kanyakumari all the way up to Odisha. We have all that landscape and seascape. Landscape could refer to anything just now mentioned to you. It also includes beaches, islands, scenic attractions. Yeah, the islands. Andaman and Nicobar has a huge number of islands. Lakshadweep islands. And likewise, Caribbean island. Likewise, beaches, Long Beach in US. Or beaches on in Spain and Portugal and Mediterranean or Greece or Cyprus. These are a few examples for us. So these are all geographical features. Climate. Climate refers to temperature, rain, snowfall, days of sunshine. This plays a role in the element of tourism product. I just mentioned in the previous slides that the day's sunshine is very limited in the northern part of Europe, in Europe as well. Like the winter, they would have a sunshine only for 6 hours maximum. And when it comes summer, they have a sunshine as much as 10 to 12 hours. That's why they have the daylight saving time. And that's an element added from climate. Look at the rain, Chirapunji registered rainfall throughout the year. Countries around equator experience rain practically every day. In Africa or somewhere close to Singapore and Malaysia, they are close to tropical, so they get rain. How can you forget rainforest of Amazon in Brazil? Temperature, the soaring temperature of Gulf country, the soaring temperature of Rajasthan and Run of Kutch, where things come to stand still. But that's an element of tourism product. There are buyers who love to see that type of weather also, not for always, but maybe for as an attraction. Then snowfall. Snowfall in Kashmir, Kullu Manali, Ladakh. From Indian perspective, internationally, Switzerland, Finland, and the Western and Northern Europe, they all experience snowfall. People go down to see snowfall. Some of us in India have never seen snowfall in their lifetime, especially people living in the Central India and South India. Some of them in North India as well, unless they have gone to Kashmir, Himachal, etc., or Uttarakhand. So that's again a tourism product that is being marketed. So climate also is feature of a tourism product. Then natural beauty, landforms, hills, rocks, boulders, valleys, terrain, all this. Valleys have a great attraction. People go down into valley to enjoy the stream of water coming up, or a rain, or a landform which has into different type of vegetation that happen on different hills. Tea plantation is a tourism product that is linked to the hills. We have got hills, and in Assam, for example, in Nilgiri and south, why they have tea garden? Because they have hills, and that's a natural beauty. Then, of course, water, that could be lake, that could be ponds, that could be river, could be waterfall, or just sprouting spring. All these are tourism products. Number of people go down to see lakes. Finland attracts tourists, calling their country the country of lakes. They've got more than 15,000 lakes, smaller and bigger size. Geneva, the famous tourist attraction in Switzerland, is purely attracting tourists for Geneva Lake, and so many such lakes around. And they are huge size. Some of the people come to and see lakes even in countries where even visit to lakes are purely restricted, because those lakes are not for fun. Like you have lakes in Bhopal. And all these are tourism products. Flora and fauna and wildlife is another attraction as a tourism geographical feature to be added. Scuba divers, flora and fauna, having a glimpse of it, that reef around, and the wildlife. We do have national park. We have national parks like Gir National Park, Kaziranga in Assam. All these are wildlife, and number of such wildlife parks where we have got rhinoceros to lions and tigers and elephants from Indian perspective. And then we have wildlife in Africa, in Kenya, in Tanzania, in South Africa, the world famous Kruger National Park known as KNP. Most of the slides that you see on YouTube of wildlife are filmed at the wildlife park, Kruger National Park. They are all tourism products from geographical feature counting. The elements of tourism products, some man-made. These are man-made or built over a time of period, and this attract tourists. Number of examples I have given. The form of a building and tourism infrastructure. Man-made, from pyramids in Egypt, which are more than 3,500 to 5,000 years old, to the modern built man-made attraction of Disneyland, Universal Studios, etc., etc. They are all man-made, not to forget the Empire State Building and Pisa Tower as a historical thing, Taj Mahal, Qutub Minar, the Rameshwaram Temple in Tamil Nadu. These are all structures that attract tourists, and they are made by human being. Of course, they are finely developed and put up as an attraction, but it's again man-made. And certain historical and modern architecture, monument and memorial parks and gardens. Yeah, so we have got the famous gardens around the world, the famous gardens, Tulip Gardens in Amsterdam, gets huge number of tourists in the month of April. We have got Tulip Garden now in Kashmir. People go down to see tulip in the month of April to Kashmir to just have a glimpse. Shalimar Garden in Kashmir, and many such gardens, Saraswat Garden in Pune. Few examples I'm giving you. And parks, huge parks. Like there are parks in London, there are parks in Amsterdam, there are parks in Paris where people go out. Unfortunately, metros like Mumbai, our park size is very small. for local community only. It doesn't attract a big number of tourists because of demographic scenario here. But again, people do visit parks. I mentioned you the Tulip Gardens and the Shalimar Garden. They are purely built for tourist attraction. So these are all tourism product. Let's count more. These are managed tourist attractions, generally golf courses, film city, theme retail areas, etc., are also man-made golf courses. Film City in Mumbai, for example, at Goregaon, is a tourist attraction, man-made. You can see sometime a real shooting going on a set displayed there to create an environment and ambience of a particular location that is far away from here and shot here at the Film City. Not only movies, it's known as a Film City, but a lot of TV serials are being filmed, and that's a tourist attraction man-made. Now, element of tourism product, we will count on the cultural part. What are they? Cultural are the places related to history and folklore. Religion and art, theater, music, dance, and other entertainment, and art galleries and museums. Now, from this particular perspective, art galleries, we have got the famous art galleries near Kalagoda in Mumbai. We have got Chhatrapati Shivaji Maharaj Museum, which was earlier known as Prince of Wales Museum, which is there at the Gateway of India where we go. And there are more museums in Mumbai. And likewise, museums in any country. Many international tourists, when they visit a country, their intention is to go and see the museum, because museum displays any development that has taken place in that city. Some archives, some photographs you can see, which are 200, 300 years old, and so on. And then people go for dance and other entertainment. These are all cultural activities sold as a tourism product. Some of these may be developed into special event and festival. So like we have got the famous Olympic game, earlier sport that was done about 100 plus years back, still there in Greece, which is a tourist attraction. And likewise, Russian ballet are world famous. People buy ticket to just and go and see theater, entertainment happening at various institutions. Of course, it's slowing down, but there are still people who go and see all these sort of cultural events at the places, including theaters and entertainment and dance shows. All are elements of tourism product. Now, facilities and services, FNS. Now, physical things are available. And to make it useful for tourists to generate revenue out of it from the facility is only the source to generate revenue out of it. Physical thing does exist, so you provide facilities in form of landscaping, in form of ornamental flower, in creating a road for it. All these are the facilities that you provide in form of services. And these are elements of tourism product, services to the highest standard. Now, you would notice that many tourism attractions are now barcoded. It is not just allowed by a human count, but a human being can go with the barcode reading and enter. Like you have barcode available for metro line. There is no presence of a human being. And this is an advancement of the facility that has been done at Disneyland, to give an example. There's no more human involvement. You just scan yourself and walk in, and it keeps a count of the number of tourists as a service. So they will, at the end of the day, they would say how many people visited. Let me say, for example, underground metro aqua line, metro line 3, which has just started in Mumbai, has this sort of facility to count, and it's physically now operational. It's lot of tourists who have come from Indian perspective are going by that underground metro. And this is the facility, and the services are the component element located in the destination or linked to it, which make it possible for visitors to stay and in other ways enjoy and participate the attraction. So you have got people lining up at Taj Mahal and going through the facility that is being provided for tourists to enter by scanning themselves and entering Taj Mahal, to have the glimpse of Taj Mahal, to have clicks of Taj Mahal, and so on. These are all facilities. Likewise, Disneyland, people are going in a format. You have to line up. They advise you, if you stand here, how much time it will take to reach up to the entertainment park, and so on and so forth. These are all facilities that are being provided to ensure that what physical existence, presence of any natural thing is provided and supported with the service element to create again a wonderful tourism product.